If you've been told to pull up your socks recently, then make sure it's a pair of RCR socks. Visit www.realitycheck.radio/shop.
Welcome back, everybody. You are here on the Up Your Brave show with Natalie Cutler-Welsh on Reality Check Radio. Next up, I am so thrilled to be chatting with a newfound friend. I'm talking today to Wayne Forrest on the topic of self-development, reinvention, and showing up as a masculine man. Welcome to the show, Wayne.
It's a pleasure to be here, Natalie. Thank you.
Well, huge shout out to our friend, our mutual friend, Rob Mokaraka, a previous guest on Reality Check Radio, who introduced us today. For those of you that don't know Wayne, Wayne Forrest is an inspiring speaker, a passionate educator, and a highly sought-after transformational coach and best-selling author. His new powerful book is called The Inner Warrior, The Power Within. Wayne shares his journey from the heart and teaches that our storms in our lives are the seeds of creating a relationship with our own power, the inner warrior within us. When we connect with this power, life gets easier and way more fun. I love the sound of that. Wayne is also a husband, a father, and wait for it, a grandfather. He says that his accident back in 1995 that left him in a wheelchair was the catalyst for his ongoing journey into self-awareness and personal development, which has given him the incredible life he is very grateful for. He is the co-creator of CHB, Swim for Lives, a charity which supports local schools in doing deep water programs to help save lives from drowning. Wayne shares his journey from the heart to enable others to believe that you too can build and live your dreams, living a life you love regardless of the struggles you face. He is also a TEDx speaker. Oh my goodness, Wayne, I am so thrilled to connect with you today. I am very curious about your story and the journey that you've had since then. Can we kick things off, if you're okay with it, to take us back to the moment of your accident?
Yeah, I grew up in a little place called Porongaho on the east coast of Hawke's Bay to farming parents, and loved farming big time, right from day dot pretty much. And didn't get on with school so much, but I loved sport. So through the years, I loved playing rugby and cricket and things like that, like many New Zealand kids of my era. And I started playing rugby for my local club after I left school. I was 25 on the day of my accident, and was actually captain of the day. In the last minutes of that game, between a rival team, I made a big mistake and went into a tackle, and that collapsed into a ruck, and I trapped my head under my shoulder, dislocating my neck. Right in that moment, I just knew I couldn't move, I couldn't breathe. The pain was incredible in the back of my neck, and took quite a few minutes, nearly an hour and a half, I think, for the ambulance helicopter to come, because we were so rural. And he gave me some medicine. Pretty much the next 5 days were sort of pretty tetchy. I didn't know, only can remember little bits, but woke up in Burwood Hospital in Christchurch, pretty much looking at the ceiling and going, oh, please, God, let it be a dream, a bad dream, of course. And I woke up for many days like that, and a doctor came into my room and said, you're not going to walk again. Something happened in that moment, you know, just my heart sort of was ripped from my chest. I can remember feeling quite emotional about it in that moment. And there was this moment where I sort of said to myself, how am I going to survive this? And a voice in me, a nice, calm, quiet voice said, you're going to do what you love. And so that for me was farming at the time. I was married with two beautiful twin daughters of 16 months. And I had a farm that I was leasing off my parents. So I made in that decision that I was going to go back to the farm and I was going to do my best to run that farm again. It took a number of years to do that to my full ability from a wheelchair, getting equipment like a motorbike, adapted, and my marriage didn't survive it, but I had this beautiful girl that came and worked for me, and she helped me on the farm and around the house and looked after the kids when I had them and things like that. And we became really good friends. I must have seen potential in her because I later on married her. So she's now my wife for now 20, well, been together well over 20 years. That was pretty much the moment that changed my life.
I think a lot of people will be listening, and some people will be relating. Some people will know someone in a similar situation. Many won't. For many, this is like something they feared, maybe. I know that with my kids, they were going and jumping off some waterfall, and I get really nervous about things like that. I was at sports awards last night, and lots of kids were getting rugby prizes and things. But I love your attitude with that question that you asked, how am I going to survive this? And that quiet voice responding to you, you're going to do what you love. Have you been able to maintain that dedication, I suppose, to doing what you love? Tell me a little bit, if you're okay with it, about some moments when, like, what has been the hardest time maybe, or one of the many hard times since then, to kind of keep your positivity, keep going?
I think it was really dark in those first years, you know, I didn't really understand the voice and the method that I put into place now in the later years, which has made it easier, if that makes sense. I've got a process that I do, but it's reminding myself that I get to choose to create a life. It doesn't matter what happens. In that moment, I don't, you know, shit can happen. And it doesn't have to be big shit. It can be small shit. And it happens often to most of us. And I think it definitely happens to me. And in those moments, we get to choose. Mm. We get to choose to go, right, I'm still going to create something out of this. And as I've developed my knowledge of self-development and things, I've understand that there's always, and I love, there's a book called Think and Grow Rich, and there's a quote that says, in every adversity, every challenge, every heartache, there is a seed equal or greater than. And I have learned to find or look for the seed of opportunity.
And now you're providing inspiration to other people, which is so incredible as a coach and also as an author and a speaker. I'd love to hear a little bit more about your book. I know you'd like to say that in every eye of the storm, a warrior is born. Tell me more about that.
Yeah, there's... life is for us, if you've been in self-development, some of the greats always say that life is for you, and in the eye of a storm, or when you're in the storm, it's hard to remember that, or know that at all if you haven't been taught that. So that's the idea, that we've got this power inside of us, that quiet voice, that intuition, that gut sense that knows the answers to every solution or every problem. And so that's when, often when we hit rock bottom, is when we give up on trying to control the circumstances outside of us and we look in. And that's when we see that power, which I like to call the inner warrior. some might say it's God within them, or spirit, or higher self. It's got many names. I just like the inner warrior because for me, it's that power. That's that fighter. That's the power. It's the person that doesn't give up.
I know that for our listeners, you and I are on video, but for our listeners, primarily it will be audio. Can you let us know in terms of, I guess, your current situation, like, can you, your mobility, so you're in a wheelchair, can you talk, tetraplegic is the term, but can you explain how that affects your mm-hmm. daily life? And I think it's just a good awareness for people to know what that means. And it's so easy for us to, you know, if we sprain our ankle or something, is just to think, like, it's, you know, different people have different challenges. And like you said, life happens to us, yeah, for us, not to us. But what is daily life like for you from a mobility perspective?
It's a great question. So I'm a tetraplegic or quadriplegic. They actually mean the same thing. It means four limbs. One's Latin, one's Greek, I think. Means four limbs are affected. So my four limbs are affected. I have very limited movement in my hands. No movement, actually, just wrist movement, forearms and biceps. So anything above my head is very challenging for me because I have trouble keeping my hands above my head. And so my power are really left in my shoulders. So I'm in a wheelchair, obviously. Don't have the ability to walk or move or stand with my legs. And so the challenges that I face daily, I have to get someone in to help me up and shower me and dress me in the morning. I do reasonably well in the evening for independence, but everyday things sometimes I'm not used to talking about these things, but everyday things, I suppose, you know, dropping things on the floor, trying to pick up paper, just those little fine detail things, even picking up the phone or taking a video or taking a picture at times can be challenging. And everything else that comes with access in a wheelchair. I've learned not to focus on that, though, Natalie, and I think that's my strength. I've managed to look forward and not at the current challenge I might have, if that makes sense.
Absolutely, like focusing on what you can do. And I guess this has led you to, and you quoted before, think and grow rich, but you're all this work you've been doing and now helping others with in terms of self-development and reinvention. How have you done that? Like, are there other particular people or speakers that stand out to you? How have you reinvented yourself since this life-changing experience?
Well, you can, let's go back a little bit. You know, that moment of that accident, I found out at the time of my accident, I was dyslexic. So made a lot of sense. I didn't do very well with English or getting the words out of my brain down on paper. And ironically, I've written a book, so you can understand the book would be very easy to read. But these challenges that I had at that moment was, I was a very physical guy. I was a farmer. I was loved running. I walked everywhere. I was a guy that worked with his hands. I shore sheep for a living on a side. I could shear over 350 a day. I started shearing when I was 12, I think. So just to give you a sense of that being stripped away in one moment, and then going back to the farm and having to deal with all those frustrations of not being able to do what I used to do, but do as the best I could, and then running a farm again. It was that understanding that, oh, I achieved a dream. And then I was like, okay, what else can I do? What else? Because I wanted that juice of achieving a dream again. Mm-hmm. And so it was another dream, and it just happened to be back up New Zealand at the time, out extreme outdoor activities. So I ended up traveling to England, doing water skiing, abseiling, rock climbing, all these different things. And I grew in confidence because all of a sudden I was achieving things that I thought I wouldn't be able to achieve. And that took me into self-development. You could say the rest is history. And I started following people, leaders in self-development, like Mary Morrissey is who I trained under, but Tony Robbins, Dr. Joe Dispenza, as we were talking about before this. There's so many of them out there that you can follow. The School of Greatness podcast, I love. That's another one. He's brilliant.
Is that Lewis?
Yeah, Lewis Howes. Yeah.
Howes, yeah.
Yeah. There's so many. I got addicted to that. And before I knew it, I was a coach, and all of a sudden I was creating a life outside of farming. Mm-hmm. And I found a sense of love. Nothing beats helping someone create a dream or just, I quite often say, just quickly, Natalie, you know, I have a quote that I say, and our own healing is in the service of others. And I started to, through the outdoor courses, help others, and that's when I got a taste of, wow, this makes me feel better to help others about my situation. And so it grew from there.
So inspirational. I think, you know, leaning into that experience and then just becoming, I guess, like you said, a kind of this new and different, greater version of you in your first 30 years, it sounds like life was so physical, so body-based, right? The farming, the running, the rugby, like body. And now it's almost like the flip side with the motivational speaking and the book and the intellectually coaching someone and having empathy and listening to them and guiding them. And it's such a journey. I'd love to hear more about your TED Talk because I know you talked about struggle. Let us know the title. And how pivotal was that TED Talk for you? Because I coach speakers and everyone that I meet wants to do a TED Talk and you've done it. So tell me about that experience.
It was right in the midst of COVID. It was this time in 2020 that I got to speak. So COVID actually did me a favor because I got a chance to really work on what I was going to write for the speech. So the speech, the TEDx talk was How Struggle Grows Through Hastings Street in Hawke's Bay. Amazing experience. A lot of people often say, you know, you never see the work that goes behind something like that. And I spent hours in front of the cattle on the old property I used to live at. At that time, speaking to them, my TEDx talk.
I thought you were going to say I spent hours in front of the camera, but no, I spent hours in front of the cattle.
Yep. They were a very good audience too. If you ever know young cattle, they are curious. So I'd sit on my deck and they would come up to the fence. I was blessed. We at the time had some acres, and they were great. Audience, actually, they never criticized me. They just always stood there and listened. But that's, jokes aside, that there was a lot of work. I really understood my story, and I've even got better from that. Marketing, branding, all came from that's where it started in the TEDx. Yeah.
And so the outtaking message from that is around struggle.
Oh, yes. Oh, sorry. And yeah, so that's pretty much telling my story of how my accident and the things I discovered that all stripped back, there's a quiet message in there of unconditional love. The more I gave myself unconditional love, And that's, I suppose that's the backstory of what was behind my accident. There was a voice in my head that always said I wasn't good enough, that I had to try harder, to I had to it came through school with schoolwork. It came on the rugby field as well, that I was tall and lanky, even though I was a strong farmer boy. I was never quite good enough in my head, and it made me push a little bit too hard, that it put me in that position of dislocating my neck. So the talk is all about finding unconditional love in the journey. And so is my book, actually. It's the same idea.
I think many of our listeners will be able to relate to that. I know in the coaching world, right, when we talk about limiting beliefs, one of the most common limiting beliefs is I'm not enough, right? I'm not good enough. I'm not smart enough. I'm not whatever. I'm not strong enough. I'm not enough. Comes up, not for everybody, but it is quite common. So that's so fascinating that you can see that, the I'm not good enough and then pushing too hard, which is what a lot of people do. Not necessarily literally, but yours was literally in that moment. But a lot of people pushing too hard in their life to achieve, to prove themselves. It's exhausting. Does life feel like a different pace, a different energy to it now, the way that you're living now?
Yeah, definitely. It's not pushed. It flows. It's more. It's still a learning in progress. I think we all are in progress of learning. And it's definitely with ease and flow. And because I came from the background of where I came, of that push energy, I have to remind myself constantly. The more you remind yourself constantly, the more that becomes quieter in your life. But you have to replace that with that ease and flow, if that makes sense.
It does. It's like it's a new habit, forming a new habit. It's easy to kind of slip back. For those of you that might have just joined us, we're talking today to Wayne Forrest. We're talking about self-development. We're talking about reinvention. And in a moment, we're going to be talking about showing up as a masculine man. For those of you that have been listening along, we would love to hear your comments, your questions. What is resonating for you? You can send us a text, 2057. You can send us an email, inbox@realitycheck.radio. Wayne, I would love to hear more about your views on this. What showing up as a masculine man or a modern day masculine man, what does that mean to you?
It means the ability to stand in your truth, and not the truth that's around us, but the truth inside us. It means that you're calm, confident, and your unconditional love for everybody. It means that you stem, it means that you're in touch with that feminine as well. So it's a combination. It's a modern man of being able to stand in that power, stand in that fire of a dream, and know and have the confidence to step into that every day, and step into that truth. Stand up for what, when you need to, stand up for what you believe is that truth. And that means you have to be a vulnerable. It means that you have to own your flaws and own the weaknesses of the past or the conditioning. It means that we have to own our pain. And by owning our pain, we can not focus on it, but see it for what it is, as conditioning in this life that we get to live, which is a great honor. And then stand and that unconditional love for ourselves first, so we can give it to everyone around us.
What do you think society would be like? Let's just say 2025. What would it be like if more men did that if they were able to be vulnerable, but also owning their flaws and owning their pain?
I think to go forward as humanity, it's going to happen. I think it's, I have great faith in that. There's people like you and I, Nat, that don't just speak it, but we work on ourselves constantly to be that. So first of all, I think it is going to happen. And more men are finding that spiritual side, that inner warrior, because that's just going to be, they'll get to a tipping point, I believe, where humanity will just be unconditional love for each other. We'll be able to take different perceptions and have open arms around that person, even though we mightn't agree, and have unconditional love for that lovely perception, which is different to yours. And if you've got two or more people doing that in a discussion, there's no hatred. There's just, you know, it's just openness, and there's just discussion, and there's the, I love the idea that perception, you know, it's the will to be able to see your point of view and my point of view. And that's pretty cool. That's going to create a very loving, strong society.
Well, I agree. I agree. And I do feel positive the way that you also do about the shift and in the masculine and the feminine, the different ways that we're showing up. It's interesting for everyone. I just love to invite everyone listening to have a little think about maybe something that is holding you back. Wayne was talking about feeling not good enough. And it's interesting because I haven't really connected with that myself, but what I have connected with, and I had a moment last week, even though 90% of the time I'm like positive and happy and all's good. I did have a moment last week where my website has been down for 4 months and I've been ringing up crazy domains, but to be honest, I've been prioritizing everyone else and everything else in my life. And I just had a moment, and this is ironic. I was trying to get the security, the SSL certificate, and I paid the credit card and whatever, whatever. And I just had this moment where I just got to the point where I just felt, here's my limiting belief is I'm not supported. You know, like I have to do it on my own. So for me, I'm not good enough. Maybe they're the same thing. I don't know, but I'm not supported. And that was big for me. It was interesting that it was about security because I sometimes feel like, you know, I'm the one that has to protect myself and I'm the one that has to do everything. And so I allowed myself to have a little bit of sadness, but then also realizing I don't need to do everything. And I do support, you know, promote, look after, nurture a lot of people and a lot of pets in my life. But I think it's really interesting to notice where we fall to when we're feeling our lowest. What is the message? So I'm going to go to you now as a coach. For anyone that walks through your door or gets on a Zoom with you, everyone's got different things that hold them back. Everyone is here for different life lessons. What is one of the questions that you ask your clients to ask themselves?
The first one is, what would you truly love in your heart? There's something incredible about that question, because when we really touch on it, and a lot of people are scared to go too deep, you know, they go, oh yeah, I'd love this, I love that. But what I've found is if you just pick something, and it might be health and wellness, it might be relationships, it might be career, or might be just going somewhere, you know, time, freedom. If you pick something and just create it and then push it out, okay, if I really would love that, if I thought real big and I had no challenges in the way and everything worked out for me, what would I do? And by stretching yourself like that, Natalie, the obvious thing that comes up is what I call the paradigm. So the paradigm, like often is, oh, I can't do that, or why I shouldn't. So we get this voice in our heads that shows us the paradigm that is limiting us to create the thing that's in our heart. So once we get or see the paradigm, I like to play a game with it. You know, it's like every time you see that paradigm, you're allowed to knock it on the head. You know, it's like one of those games where the little thing pops up through the hole and you whack it on the head.
Whack-a-mole, yeah.
Yeah, whack-a-mole, or just imagine you've got a snake and you've got many heads, you're allowed to cut the snake's head off, you know. And by having a bit of fun with it, we reframe that limited belief into the inner goddess or inner warrior belief, which is nothing is limited. There's unlimited possibilities. So from that aspect, that's what you would love. So then you can get to reframe that lovely limited belief into the goddess or the inner warrior's belief of the dream.
So good. I'm writing it down. Transforming limiting beliefs into limitless possibilities. Mm-hmm. So there's so much we can do in terms of our thoughts and the power of our thoughts. Thank you so much for that impromptu coaching session. I would love to ask you now, Wayne, if you were to truly up your brave for the remaining months of 2024, you've got about 1.5 months left, what would you do or not do?
Up my brave? I have never done skydiving. So one activity, and I'm a big chicken, so it would have to be skydiving.
Okay. You said it. You said it out loud.
I know. Damn. I was afraid of that.
Well, that's an awesome one. All right. What is coming up for you, either socially, business-wise, and how can people connect or find you online?
I've got part of my family possibly moving to Australia. So I'm the 3 grandchildren with my daughter. And so I'm going to be making sure I connect well before they leave next month. But also business-wise, I've got a couple of workshops coming up, which you can find on my website. And I've got a couple of events, so which are also on the website.
Amazing. Well, what is the website? Can you say it or spell it for us?
Yeah, it's wayneforrest.com, which is really easy. So it's my name, but Forrest has 2 R's. So I like to joke, it's run, Forrest, run.
We can remember that. WayneForrest.com. And what socials are you on? Is it LinkedIn, Instagram, Facebook?
Yeah, LinkedIn and my personal Facebook are the main 2. Okay. But I am on Instagram as well. And
Are you Wayne Forrest on Instagram?
Yeah, Wayne Forrest NZ.
Okay. I will follow you there. I'm up your brave. I'll go check out your reels.
I love it. Love it.
Awesome. Amazing. Well, thank you so much, Wayne. Is there anything else you'd like to share with our listeners? Any final words of wisdom that you have before we wrap things up?
Yeah, wake up tomorrow morning and do what you love. Make, you know, just bring a bit of joy to your life.
Amazing. Thank you so much, Wayne, for joining us today.
Thank you.
And thank you, everyone, for listening.
Thank you for tuning in to RCR Reality Check Radio. If you like what you're listening to, dislike what you're listening to, either way, we want to hear from you. Get in touch with us now. You can text us with your message to 2057, that's 2057, or email us at inbox@realitycheck.radio. We would love to hear from you, so connect with us today.